Борис.
Of the Mighty Beast podcast, Sean Pierre here, going solo today. Unfortunately, our guy Carlo wasn't feeling good for the past few days. We should have had an episode out yesterday, but sent out the bat signal. Unfortunately, wasn't feeling good, but it's okay. We move on. Get well soon, buddy. Hopefully, it's not an STD. I'm just kidding. I did actually give him some advice. I was like, you know what, dude, you should probably try to rub one out. It helps just a little bit. Make sure you use some lotion or some good lotion. Not that Jergens. Maybe get some of that Burt's Bees or some beeswax or something like that. Had a good weekend last week. Hung out with my kids. Was able to get some training in Monday. And yesterday, feeling really good. Any of you guys that are going to be doing the Jiu Jitsu World League on April 20, shout out to you guys. I'm trying to see if I can do it, to be totally honest. Felt really good the past two training sessions, and feeling like now I probably have to cut some weight. I don't know if that's going to be a good thing, but checked out how many competitors there are. It looks like it's going to be a good tournament. It's going to be out in Stockton. So shout out to anyone that's going to be competing at that tournament. Again, I'm going to be trying to get on that, and we'll see. I also heard there was a fight to win in the city. So if anyone, I think it's maybe a week after the Jiu-Jitsu World League. I think we have maybe one or two people from Magala Jiu-Jitsu doing that fight to win card, but show some support. And I think I might be over there at one of the tables because I know that Travis, our guy, our black belt, likes to celebrate and get tables. So good on him. Fights over the weekend. Some pretty good ones. Actually, you know what? Let's go on to some news. Just recently announced, which is kind of crazy. How about Robert Whittaker and Khamzat Chimaev headlining the Saudi Arabia card? Oh my gosh. Card won't be on pay-per-view, but it will air on ABC in the US. Can you believe that shit? Whittaker and Chimaev. I thought they were going to probably do maybe Kamaru Chimaev, or maybe, I don't know. It looks like Chimaev is probably going to stay at middleweight, though. Who wins that fight? Man, if I can give maybe an early prediction, I'm probably going to go with Whittaker. You know, I think he has the championship pedigree. And Chimaev, honestly, like the only real people he's beat, honestly, like there was, who's the last person he beat? Kamaru Usman, former champ. Also not in the weight class. Gilbert Burns, also not in that weight class. But Whittaker's no slouch, man. Like I said, former champion. Great all-around guy. They also announced some other fights on that card, which I have to go and look for. But excited for UFC 300 coming up, though. You know who else was in the news? Diego Sanchez talking about his old coach. I forget what his name was. Josh Fabia. I remember there was that one interview where he went all in when he was in, I think it was right before Diego's fight with, gosh, I forgot who that was also, but man, he was going off and Paul Felder had to almost put him in his place. But apparently, Josh Fabia is kind of a psychopath, I think. probably not the guy that you want to run your career. And Diego says, quote, "A very evil man that manipulated, blackmailed, extorted me, and eventually put an end to my UFC career. Either he was going to kill me or I was going to kill him." Fuck. Imagine having that guy in your life and he's just on another level, feeding you all kinds of shit. But you know what, though? Diego is a grown-ass man. So it's like, how was that guy able to manipulate you? I mean, not to say that fighters are easily manipulative or manipulated, but someone did say that, you know, he was in a very dark place at the time. And, you know, sometimes people look for, you know, other things in life. And he found Josh Fabio. Fucking weird ass. In other news, Roadhouse getting mixed reviews. I haven't seen it personally. Probably will, probably not. But apparently he did pretty good. I mean, I think we talked about this last week. You know, I am a Conor McGregor dick rider. And, you know, he did announce that he will be coming back. Just don't know when. We need a date. So I don't know when he's coming back, but probably going to be Michael Chandler. Hopefully it's not going to be at 85, probably at 70. Conor McGregor looking real juicy in those clips of Roadhouse, but yeah. Other fights that have been announced. Let's see. Chris Weidman coming back over the weekend. God, that's going to be crazy. Chris Weidman. They showed a clip the other day with Chris Weidman when he was breaking, when he broke his leg. And I listened to an interview. I think it was on maybe the Helwani show where pretty much he had mentioned that they didn't show, because apparently he had the first compound fracture where, you know, where the bone sticks out after it breaks. Apparently he had the first in MMA or in the UFC. They didn't show too much of it. Apparently the camera people or maybe the producers or something, they kind of steered away from it. But according to Chris Weidman, there is footage of him where all the blood's coming out and all this other shit. God damn, I don't know if I could even watch that. The leg break was nasty. I know you guys remember that shit. That shit was nasty. Isn't it weird how it kind of comes full circle where Anderson Silva breaks his leg and then now Chris, well, not now, but before Chris Weidman breaks his legs the same way, leg, not legs, but the same way. But we'll get into that fight card in a little bit later. Let's get into the fights that were over the weekend. And that was the UFC on ESPN 53. Amanda Ribas versus Rose, Thug Rose Namajunas. Rose takes a unanimous decision over Amanda Ribas. I think both of us, me and Carlo, predicted this. And, you know, I listened to some interviews with Rose after the fight. And, you know, the fight itself was pretty back and forth. You know, Amanda Ribas, tough as nails, couldn't really get too much going as far as the grappling was concerned. And, you know, her striking looked good. It just didn't feel like she was, you know, able to set her feet down and kind of like throw down. But Rose was able to kind of negate everything. But she also admits as well, I mean, I can only imagine what Rose was going for. I think she's what, lost two in a row. And she had lost two in a row. One where she moved up in weight. And obviously she loses the belt to Carla Esparza. So that's, you know, I can only imagine what was going through her head and what kind of changes she had to make this fight work. But in the end, you know, she had mentioned that all of those things were factors in this fight. I mean, she claims that, you know, there were a couple of things that she was trying to work on to finish the fight early, but unfortunately she wasn't able to get to do it. But Rose gets the win. she's looking good in her new weight class. I mean, that's kind of what the big worry was about. I think people were wondering what was going to happen, if she was going to move up to 25 and see if, you know, maybe her power translates, or, you know, 125, they got many, many fighters in that weight class where they kind of make Rose look undersized. So we saw what happened with her and Manon Fiorot, who is fighting this weekend. Manon, she just looked a little bit bigger and much more stronger than Rose was. So Rose looked a lot better. Like physically, she looked much more muscular and much more stronger, I'd say. She does say that this is probably the weight class she's going to stay at. I'm sure the cut down to 115 isn't a pleasant one, but she says for the right price, obviously, you know, everyone has their price. Where'd she go from here? I don't know. I think she probably fights the winner of the fights this weekend between Aaron Blanchfield and Manon Fiorot. That's probably the only fight that really makes sense. For Amanda Ribas, it's, you know, she trades off wins and losses here and there. You know, she's almost kind of a staple of the promotion, especially in the Brazilian market. So, you know, for her, she's trading off wins and losses. And I honestly don't think she loses any steam as far as what her career trajectory is. I mean, she's maybe one or two fights from even being talked about in the title contention. So if she can string a couple wins together, I'm pretty sure she'll be fine. In the co-main event, we saw Carl Williams get the unanimous decision win over Justin Taffa. You know, Justin Taffa filled in for his brother, who filled in for him a few weeks ago. And Justin Taffa, known for being a power puncher, obviously, Carl Williams did a really good job at using his striking to get into the clinch and try to get into those takedowns. Now, Carl Williams never, I'm not sure if he fancies himself a grappler, but he did enough to get Justin Taffa out by unanimous decision. I guess we'll see more of him. The fight right under it was the Edmund Shahbazyan versus AJ Dobson. You know, really happy for Edmund because, man, it wasn't looking good in the beginning. One, two rounds in, it's getting kind of scary. You know, he's been kind of on a weird streak where, you know, in the beginning he was, you know, red hot, then went on like a 3-fight skid, one, then lost another. And now he's, you know, got the knockout due to punches. But Edmund Shahbazyan showing that he's finally coming into his own. Hopefully the move out to Vegas has been treating him well. We'll see what happens with him. Next, it was the Peyton Talbot, Cameron Simon fight. I was really looking forward to this. Didn't know Peyton Talbot had such good striking. You know, Cameron Simon, teammate of Dricus du Plessis, you know, those guys come from, you know, South Africa. And I'm not sure how good their wrestling and their striking is, but obviously Dricus is one of the unicorns out there. But Peyton Talbot, I'm not going to lie, man. This kid is actually pretty damn good. Still undefeated, 8-0. Got the winner by TKO. Caught Simon kind of being a little bit lazy with his striking. Talbot walked his ass down the entire fight. So this kid's got it. Heard some great interviews with him as well. Fun fact about him, he wasn't really into MMA until he started doing it. Didn't know he was going to be a professional fighter, but good for him. Both these guys coming off the Contender Series. So Contender Series, man, they're putting out some pretty good talent out there. Then we had the Yusef Zalal versus Billy Q. Billy Quarantillo fight. Yusef Zalal pulls off a rear naked choke submission. Billy Q didn't look like he was in the fight the entire time. Zalal, fun fact about him is apparently he was supposed to be part of the Ultimate Fighter. Found out he didn't make the cut, you know, ended up being an alternate, and all of a sudden gets a call from the UFC and puts on a really good show, making Billy Q look like he didn't really belong there. You know, nobody does that to Billy Q. So congrats to Yusef Zalal. Other than that, I'm pretty sure we're going to talk about the bite heard from around the world. I'm not going to say that. But shout out to other fights on the card. There was Trey Ogden takes a unanimous decision over Kurt Hollibaugh. Julian Arosa takes out Ricardo Ramos by submission. Wasn't looking good in the beginning of that fight either, but he gets on his back and pulls off an amazing, doesn't get it back, sorry, gets a guillotine choke. Crazy. I actually thought that Ricardo Ramos was going to get out of that, but Julian Arosa getting a submission win. The fight I was talking about was, man, Leandre Lima versus Igor Servino. You know, I know that in MMA or in boxing, I mean, this happened in boxing with Mike Tyson of, you know, when he bit Evander Holyfield's ear and whatnot, but Igor Servino, I mean, this fight, honestly, between Lima and Servino, it was actually a really good fight. A really, really good fight. It was a good back and forth fight. Both of them were landing real good. Both of them had really good grappling exchanges. So I was so puzzled on why Igor would bite him. And if you look at the replay, Andre Lima was complaining that Igor was actually biting his arm. And you can, I mean, I'm sure it's all over the social web or whatnot, on the internet. You could see blatantly that was a really big, well, it's not really a big bite. He actually had a small mouth compared to a lot of other people, but you can see very, you know, looks like a bite mark, almost looks like a butthole or something like that. But I don't know how much power you can actually generate biting down on someone with your mouthpiece in there. And my thing was, Andre Lima gets a tattoo right after this happens. So for me, that's just like, okay, did you sanitize? Did you shower? One, did you like sanitize yourself? Because getting a tattoo is probably one of the most, you know, sanitary things that you have to have down. You know, like you can't have any bacteria, you can't have any nastiness, or it could lead to infection and whatnot. So I'm really hoping Andre Lima at least took a shower before he went to the tattoo parlor, because it looks like he literally got up, did his interviews, and then went to the tattoo parlor, didn't even take a shower. So hopefully he took a shower. Also, last fight on the card, or first fight on the card, was Muhammad Usman versus Mick Parkin. Sorry, Muhammad Usman being Kamaru Usman's, I don't know if he's his older or younger brother or whatever, but Mick Parkin gets the unanimous decision over an Usman. Also, last week was the Bellator Champion Series in Belfast. Corey Anderson finally gets a fucking belt. Pretty good, clean sweep. Well, not a clean sweep, but Corey Anderson dominated this fight. Scorecards were 49-46, 49-46, 50-45. How about Patricio Pitbull takes out Jeremy Kennedy by TKO punches. Good for the Pitbull. Fabian Edwards, brother of Leon Edwards, gets a unanimous decision over Aaron Jeffrey. I'm going to be honest, man, I didn't watch any of this card. Yeah, I don't have Max. I know that Carlo does. I don't know if I could pay for another app, but apparently some people were saying that it was, you know, good card. Some people also say that they should probably just stick both fucking promotions or one. Come on, PFL. You guys just bought these guys. So, Bellator Champion Series. Does that mean it's all just like championship fights? Maybe they should go back into Muay Thai. What do you think? I don't know. Also, last weekend, there was some Muay Thai fights. Actually, one Friday Night Fights 56 obviously at Lumpini Stadium. Ferrari Fairtex versus Mavlud Tupiev. Ferrari Fairtex takes the unanimous decision win in a bantamweight Muay Thai fight. I watched this. I like to watch these fight cards as I edit photos, which is fun. But man, these fucking fights, dude, always have some great action. I love the action that comes out of this stuff. Only one MMA fight, by the way, on this card. Strawweight MMA, meaning it's pretty much flyweight here in the States. Thailand guy, Pichai Luk Ban Mai versus Rifdin Masdora. Looks like the Malaysian takes the TKO in round one. Man, some of these names. I don't know how Carlo does it. Pung Lalang Banraba versus Den Tong Tong Singha Moin. I don't know. We'll see. So that's going to wrap it up for the fights over the weekend. Now we look forward to the fights coming up this weekend. So this weekend we have UFC on Fox 54, Blanchfield versus Fioro. Aaron Blanchfield coming in as, I think, the favorite, no? I don't know. Let me check. Her last fight, oh my gosh. Last fight against Jessica Andrade, come on. This girl's got dynamite in her hands. She got the submission threat. Manon Fioro, last fight against Rose Namajunas, looked good on her striking, I'm not going to lie. I feel like Fioro has maybe one or two rounds in her to get the fight done. I think that's probably the only way she can get it done. But, you know, Aaron Blanchfield coming in as the minus 198 favorite. I'm going to go with Blanchfield. I think she has more ways to win. I think she's also fought possibly the better opposition as far as the weight class goes. I think Fioro, like I said, has maybe one or two rounds of maybe some good striking to take her out, but I just don't see it. I think Aaron Blanchfield is too good on the feet and too good on the ground. I mean, every time I've seen Blanchfield so far, she's evolved. So I'm going to go with Aaron Blanchfield by finish. I'd say she submits Manon Fioro in probably within three rounds. And then Vicente Luque versus Joaquin Buckley. That's a, you know, I think Joaquin Buckley's coming in on short notice. You know, Joaquin Buckley at welterweight, I mean, he carries a lot of muscle, but the guy's a firecracker. I feel like Vicente Luque, you know, he's been in a bunch of wars. He's been on kind of like a trade-off, wins, loss, win, loss, win, loss. But, you know, he lost two in a row prior to this, but got the win over RDA back in August of 2023. So, you know, it's been kind of a little bit of a layoff for him. It's been a few months, but if I had to pick, I'm going to go with Joaquin Buckley. You know, like I just feel like he's hungry. He's got the power. I feel like he's going to be too explosive for Luque. And, you know, Luque has some really good jiu-jitsu. He has some good front chokes or whatever. But let's see if he can even pull it off against Joaquin Buckley. I'm going to go with Buckley. I think he knocks out Vicente Luque. But this could go either way, to be totally honest. Bruno Silva versus former champion Chris Weidman. Not sure how I feel about this. You know, Bruno Silva, you know, he's had some mixed results in the UFC, could be fighting for his job. But Chris Weidman, you know, had a tough run after that leg break. Got some good, you know, got a good win over Kelvin Gastelum, but lost it only best of the best so far. So what Chris Weidman we're going to see coming up over the weekend, you know, he is 39 years old. And one thing I just get scared of is his chin. I mean, he was talking on Ariel's show about how, you know, he's really scared to, he's super scared to throw that leg kick, which, with good reason. Broke that shit. Also, I also heard was that after he got that knee fixed, you know, ended up getting infected. 15 total operations on that knee, or on his knees, or on that knee, one or the other. Still, being put under the knife that many times, it's got to weigh a lot on your mind. That's just fucking crazy. Don't know what he's going to do, though. Don't know which Chris is going to show up. The first Chris Weidman, the Chris Weidman that we saw beat Mark Munoz, if that comes back, not sure if that's going to come back. But if we see the Chris Weidman that beat Mark Munoz and that beat Anderson Silva, I think we'll give it to Chris Weidman. But, you know, Bruno Silva's no punk. They've had pretty much almost the same amount of fights, but, you know, this is a toss-up for me. I don't know. I really don't know who's going to come out on top. But if I had to choose, I'm going to go with Bruno Silva. I just feel like, you know, Chris Weidman being, you know, that age of at 39 and just the layoffs and the injuries, I just feel like Bruno Silva has his number. And, you know, Chris Weidman talked about a little bit of retirement talk. And once people start talking about that, you know, their mind is either, you know, they got one foot in, one foot out. So, you know, that never works out well. And then we got the Nursultan Ruziboev versus Sendriks Dumas. I'm going to go to Uzbekistan guy because, you know, Dumas is good and all, but usually when you put an American versus one of these Dagestan, Uzbekistan or Russian, it becomes one of those like wrestle fuck repetitive fights where I told you so, you should have been working on your freaking wrestling, but we'll see. Then we got Bill Algeo versus Kyle Nelson. That should be a good fight. I'm going to go with Bill Algeo by stoppage, and then Chidi Njikwani making his welterweight debut, I think he was fighting a middleweight. You know, started out real hot, Chidi did, but man, he's had some pretty shitty results. Reese McKee coming out of Ireland. I mean, there's no secret. I think all you have to do is grapple against Chidi, and I think you should win. So, wonder what the game plan is, Reese. Wondering. Then on the prelims, we got Nate Landwehr versus Jamal Emmers. I'm going to go with Jamal Emmers on this one just because of the odds. Nate Landwehr, you know, tough guy, but Jamal Emmers is on a tear. Then we got, wow, this is a crazy strawweight fight. Virna Jandridova versus Lupi Godinez, number 5 versus number 10. I'm going to go with Jandridova only because she's obviously jiu-jitsu world champion. You know the deal. Submissions are everywhere. And then featherweight bout, Julio Arce versus Herbert Burns. Herbert Burns, the brother of, you know who the deal, or you know who it is. Gilbert Burns also had mixed results. I'm going to go with Julio Arce. Dennis Bazookia versus Colin Matthews. I'm going to go with Dennis Bazookia. And I think those are all the more interesting fights of the night. Oh, how about Andre Petrovsky versus Jacob Malkoon? Wait a minute. Isn't that supposed to be Anthony Smith? Petrovsky. Huh. Oh, I guess not. I think Anthony Smith is fighting another guy with a P last name. I'm full of shit. Sorry, guys. It's late. And I need Carlo over here to keep me on track. You know what I'm saying? So that's going to be it for the UFC on ESPN 54 out there in Atlantic City. Mind you, this is one of not that many UFC on ESPN cars. I think this is on big ESPN also. But one of the first cards or fight night cards where it's out of the fucking Apex, finally, man. So hopefully we get to see, you know, the crowd go crazy for these fighters. I'm sure they're all going to go crazy over there. Everyone's fucking crazy right now. People still getting COVID? I don't know. Shit. Other than that, we have one Friday night fights with a bunch of motherfuckers that I can't even pronounce their goddamn name. One Friday night fights 57 at the Lumpini Boxing Stadium in about 6 hours, by the way. Headlined by Panrit Lukjaomaisawari. Shit. Versus Alexei Balkio out of Russia. 140-pound catchweight Muay Thai. I don't know why you would bet against the Thais just in general. But 140-pound Thai, huh? Yeah, I'm going to go with Panrit. Wondering if there's any other fights on here that look interesting. Don't see any MMA fights, though. Oh, there is. And they're girls. Kojinsa Komolodonivanova out of Uzbekistan versus Akari Ogata. 163 pounds? What the fuck? 163-pound women's fight. It's probably the most weight I've seen in a women's fight. You guys agree? Except for the Gabby Garcia absolute fights? Okay. Anyway, that's going to be the action over the weekend. Not sure if there's any other fights because Carlo actually usually does his due diligence on what's happening over the weekend. Stuff happening for the weekend for me. I am going to be... What am I doing? Oh, I am actually going to have no kids this weekend. My parents are taking care of my kids while my wife and I have our own little date night on Friday and on Saturday. So wish us luck. And I think that is going to do it. Well, I want to thank you guys for joining me, solo mission, for the podcast. I know we usually have Carlo here, and it's much more exciting when Carlo's here, obviously. But thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share the podcast. Don't forget to follow us on our social media. Mine is Sean_Pierre_, and Carlo's is Hopkey1. Don't forget to hit up Magala Jiu-Jitsu in San Francisco, 10th Planet, Daly City, Omni Movement in Hercules, and FTCC in Las Vegas. And shout out to our friends in Hapkido USA in San Francisco, Colhado Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in San Francisco as well, Pacific Ring Sports out in Oakland, Rooted Legacy and Rooted Legacy and fuck Omega Martial Arts out there in fucking, I forget where you guys are from, and our guy Sama Martial Arts out there in Pinole. Thank you guys for listening. Don't forget about the fights this weekend, guys. Carlo will be with us next week. Take care.